Otherwise, there's no point.
the point would be to have a conversation that no one else would ever get to hear, like normal people do.
Right.
If three people have a conversation and it doesn't make it onto a podcast, did it really happen?
That's a question for future historians when they listen to all our podcast episodes. All right. Well, welcome everybody to another Trade Waiters minisode. Today we're going to talk about web comics because web comics are great, but they're harder to find than they used to be. Web comics used to be like the main thing, at least for a certain community, of like you go on the internet and you find your comics to read, but it's a broader and more complicated landscape these days.
Or is it?
Yeah. I mean, I think when we first brought up this topic, I found myself just really struggling to think about web comics that I currently read, and even the idea of finding web comics. Like, it's funny because when the internet first started, I had a friend who was every day I saw him, he had another web comic I should check out. He's like, "Oh man, you should look at this. You should check out. Have you heard of Sinfest? You should look at Sinfest. Hey, have you heard of Sluggy Freelance? You should read this." And I had a time where like there were some web comics I regularly checked in on, like Sluggy Freelance, which I actually looked up. It's still running. Still running its own website under sluggy.com. And I would just, once a week I'd check in, and like, and they had a big archive. So like I had the opportunity to read a whole bunch of strips at once. And then when I caught up, suddenly it was like, oh, now I've got to wait a week or whatever. And I don't know, I was really consuming web comics, just going to individual sites that people recommended to me. And then it all kind of dropped off, and I was thinking about it's. I think there was kind of two things that happened. One, I moved to Japan and got really busy with other things, other pursuits, and just like didn't spend as much time reading web comics online. But then also like social media happened, and suddenly instead of spending my time reading hours of web comics, I would spend my time reading hours of people's news feeds on Facebook and Twitter. And I think currently, Webtoon seems like it addresses a lot of those concerns about like where to go to find things, and like the convenience of reading it. Because before you'd have to go and sit down and like log in and be on your desktop. Now you can just swipe through on your phone. And yet I find even still, even though we did Space Boy, which is on Webtoon, and like I'm interested to know the ending of Space Boy, and yet I've super behind on it because, like, when I pull my phone out, Webtoon is not the first thing that occurs to me to boot up. And then I'll waste a bunch of time on TikTok or Blue Sky or something else. And then I'm not reading a comic. And I'm now at an age where my eyesight is starting to go a little bit. I got my reading glasses, and like my eye doctor's like, maybe don't look at screens so much. And like, I draw on a screen. I teach digital, graphics and video editing. I have to stare at a screen to do my marking. I have to stare at a screen to set up my online classes. Like, screens are so ever present in my life that I think the last thing I want to do in my leisure time is then look at a screen again. Like, I will read maybe like a PDF or an ebook of a comic for Trade Waiters, but like, it doesn't occur to me to like pull up a web comic. And like, I'm more inclined to read paper books. And I that's been my big thing, is I have a big stack of paper books I want to read. And it's also those that stack is a reminder that I need to start reading those things, where like Space Boy is not a visual reminder. It's like I'd have to consciously boot up the app, right? That's my
Yeah.
lack of experience with web comics.
Well, I think you have hit on some interesting things. The first thing I want to say, though, is kind of a challenge to the overall premise of this episode, is that web comics are a diminished medium that is harder to find. I take the perspective that actually web comics are better than they've ever been. It's more like, imagine you're trying to find a dogwood tree, and it used to be that there was a dogwood tree in the middle of an empty field, and you could see that dogwood tree in the distance and just go and walk over to it. And now there's a giant forest, and you're trying to find the dogwood tree. But every forest is another comic. You know, there's actually so many comics out there that I feel kind of like the opposite issue of you, of like, I just can't find comics to read. I'm like, I just can't find enough time to sit and read all of these incredibly beautiful, amazing comics that I wish I could just dig into. However, I do think you hit on two important factors that are keeping both of us away from it. The first one being social media. I do agree that the pivot to social media and this kind of like gardenification of the internet is a big factor that got people away from coming to people's websites and enjoying the experience that individual creatives were creating there. But also, like, despite your, I don't want to look at screens anymore, old man yells at cloud kind of perspective, I actually do kind of feel the same way. For me, it's less eyesight and more the association of guilt. So, like, for me, when I am scrolling on a feed, it's something that I'm doing as a self-soothing mechanism, like an anxiety mechanism, but it's always bundled with guilt. And at the back of my mind is this thought of like, I need to be not on my phone. I need to be not on my phone. And I do think that Webtoon is kind of a perfect marriage of a context and a product, let's say, and the context being someone is on their train. Like it's very from people commuting in Korea. That's where it was originated as a service. People commuting in Korea have webtoons on their phone and they read them on their way to work. I no longer commute that way. I bike to work. Like, it's very dangerous to read a webtoon when you're biking to work. It's not recommended. And my boss also doesn't like when I stare at my phone at work. So again, like the phone is tied up with guilt. And that for me is the big reason why I struggle to get into webtoons specifically. But that's my opening volley, I guess, into the conversation.
That's interesting. I do want to talk some more about Webtoon, but I want to also bring it back to that forest metaphor because I like that. And I think for me, I think the biggest drop off for me in reading web comics wasn't at the start of joining a bunch of social media sites. It was at the end when they were getting harder to use and algorithmically generated, and I was quitting a bunch of them because there are quite a few web comics that I had followed that cartoonist on Twitter or Tumblr specifically so that I could see their web comic updates and that I wouldn't miss the comics. But then, if that person quits Twitter, or if I quit Twitter, or if Twitter decides for me which posts I see, then I'm missing those updates and I'm not checking in on the comic. And I've already exported the idea of physically going to the site myself to this other app. And then, if the app isn't doing that for me, then I'm just have forgotten to check in and read that comic.
Yeah, there was like a really big habit of the reader to type in your URL or to open the bookmark where your website was kept was a really, really big part of being a webcomic reader in the Web 1.0 era, let's say. That was huge. And that habit was supplanted with open the app. And that change was seismic in the webcomics community. And also, I think for a lot of blogs and other types of internet media, let's say.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still doing my web comics. Like, if you look up comics from a decade ago, a lot of them are still going, or at least if not still going, then still available to read. But yeah, I think it's not just comics that have suffered in this way. I think you're right. It's blogs. It's every personal website is like still running, but people just don't have the habit to go there first.
Which is, yeah, there's a lot to be examined, I think, and this is probably a bigger conversation than we should go into now, but the way that social media sites were designed to capture and retain our attention is something that all of us now are actively fighting against. And I think again, going back to like, now I try not to be on my phone, period. I'm really conscientious about social media in general and which sites I engage with, and that's to the detriment of the type of media that I would want to find.
And I think, I mean, to be fair, I think age has something to do with this too. Like, we're all 10 years older than we were 10 years ago. So, like, you just don't have as much time.
Yeah, and this is why I'm saying, like, from our perspective, it seems like a diminished medium, but it's not. And the kids still read webcomics.
Oh,
I am
yeah.
convinced. There's a lot of cult favorites that we do not know anything about. And it's that generation that has the time and the let's say permissibility to be sitting on a computer reading a comic for 5 hours, which we no longer have.
Right,
Like
yeah.
I have very like very fond memories of just getting sucked into a webcomic and being able to blow my entire day reading an archive and thinking about that now, like I can't find 2 hours to carve out to do that. I have to read comics in
Yeah.
chunks.
Yeah.
And it's that freedom that I'm missing, I think, in conjunction with. So it's the freedom that I'm missing, but not the content. The content is still there.
Like the you're yeah, there's comics. I'm going to bring it back to Webtoon. There are comics on Webtoon that are hugely popular that a lot of people have read. I have never read Lore Olympus. Maybe I'll get around to it eventually. I don't know. But like, if you talk about webcomics and you never mention Lore Olympus, like you're missing out on an entire world of comics.
Yeah, I've read
Yeah.
parts of Lore Olympus. I also really used to enjoy My Giant Nerd Boyfriend, which was more slice of life. I mean, it was very kind of in keeping with the comics I used to do, so I found that really relatable as well. But very few webtoons caught me enough to get me back on that app. And I think that's just for me, it's the phone thing. I don't want to be reading comics on the phone. It's the same reason why I don't have an active Shonen Jump subscription right now. So, Shonen Jump, it's like $2 a month, I think, for a Viz subscription, and you have like the entire catalog of
Oh, wow.
manga, right? Like it's an incredible deal, but I don't want to be on my phone. I subscribed to it when I was traveling overseas in 2023, and I was stuck in airports and buses and waiting for things to open and things like that, and it was perfect. It was perfect for that, and I read so much manga, but in my daily life, I'm just like, I don't want to be on my phone. I just want to
Yeah.
be where I am and trying to engage.
Yeah. I mean, I think you hit on something with the commuting time, because I do think that, like, yeah, I bike to work as well. And so I just feel like I'm constantly kind of like in motion from one appointment to the next. At my day job, I'm a college professor, so like I can't be flipping through my phone during a lecture, you know, like my time to read comics would be like when I get home, and then usually I get home and it's time to make dinner, and then my partner is like, let's pull up something on a streaming service. And so like, instead of like binge reading a web comic, I'm binge watching a TV show. And yeah, and then it's time for bed, and like I'm not gonna read on my phone before bed. I'm trying to, like, as you say, like I'm trying to reduce screen time. So then it's like I'm gonna grab a paper book. One, I mean, yeah, I really liked your metaphor of the tree too, because I do think, like, I pulled up Webtoon while we were talking, and like there's so much there, and there's lots of things where I'm like, oh, I'd be interested in reading that, but then there's like so much, there's almost like too many options, like it's overwhelming. And I think there's one other thing that I maybe I think is more of a me thing that I think you guys I'd be interested in your response to, but I find that like with webcomics, I hit maybe the same barrier that I hit with manga. And it's like, I think manga is really good, and I think it's great that there's so many people passionate about their manga series. But I feel like with webcomics and with manga, I hit the same problem, which is like I start it and I'm like, this is good, this is well drawn, this is well written. And they're like, oh, well, just wait till you get to volume 53, because that's when the story really gets going. And then there's a huge turn, huge exciting twist on volume 75. And that really sets up the conclusion in like volume 84, you know? And like, then I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm only on volume 3. Like, this is just overwhelming. And I kind of give up, because it just feels like daunting. And I mean, again, this is a bit old man yells at cloud, but it's like, I kind of like my self-contained graphic novels. Like, I like when I can just pick up a 200-page graphic novel, read it cover to cover, and be like, that's it. I got the story, the whole thing, beginning, middle, and end, like all one bite.
Yeah, I think that there's some complexity in that from my perspective. So for one, I want to say that there's a personality thing in that. I think I'm closer to you in that my personality likes the short, sweet, self-contained kind of things. There are certain things that I enjoy where it's like I'm here for the journey. You know what I mean? Where like a comic goes alongside you in your life. Questionable content is kind of like that. It's been so long running and it updates so frequently that it's like I remember like the ebbs and flows of questionable content throughout the ebbs and flows of my life. Whereas if you wanted to invite someone to start questionable content today, that's kind of like an absurd thing to ask, you know? I'm sure people do start questionable content every day, but it is a daunting thing to try and dig into. The second thing I want to say is if you only read three tankobon of a series, I don't consider that a failure. You know, like you've experienced. So like I drop off series all the time, you know, like, and I just, oh yeah, I've read the first five or I've read the first seven or usually like the first one or two. And if I like it, I'll pick up the next ones. And if I don't, that's fine. I still had an experience and I now have some exposure to that work. And when people mention that work, I have some exposure to it. I don't think you need to be a completionist of every series to be one true fan or whatever, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's Webtoon is like every other type of comics, subject to the economics of its format. Like, think about newspaper comics. Newspaper comics come out every single day. I've never read all of Peanuts. That doesn't mean I don't know Peanuts. Its format is it has to be one strip every day for 50 years. That's a lot of comics. You're not necessarily expected to read all of those. And like Webtoon, the way that it's the way that it sort of encourages its creators to function is you have to do a giant update, which is gonna break your soul to have to create every single week. And then maybe you can take a month off, and like that's gonna end up being an awful lot of comics. So yeah, there people aren't necessarily working to that format because it's their one true ideal of this is how I want to make comics forever, but this is how they are able to make comics and be successful on Webtoon.
And to that point, my third point in that series is I don't feel that longevity is essential to a comic being a webcomic. So lots of people can debate what a webcomic is or is not. To me, I prefer to take the broadest possible definition. I'd prefer to be a see it as a broad umbrella than a gatekeeping kind of thing. So for my perspective, all webtoons are webcomics, but not all webcomics are webtoons. For me, a comic that is hosted for free on the internet, that the creator large has a large part of control into what it is and how it's presented to the user. That's essential to webcomicness to me. But it can be short, it can be long, it can be sponsored, it can have an edition in print, it can be in any kind of style. So I am seeing now a lot of shorter self-contained comics released on the internet. And for me, I qualify that as webcomics. And that tends to be more what I read more often.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think when we guys bring that up, like one thing I consider is that I think when I first engaged with comics, I was reading monthly superhero comics, which is very much just like an infinite, you know, like what's it, there's 350 issues of Spider-Man, and it's like, well, no, I have not read all 350 issues of Spider-Man, but like there are specific arcs that I engaged with, and like, yeah, there was a time where I'd sort of step into a series and like, okay, everyone's talking about this new writer on Batman, I'm gonna start on Batman number 400 and like let's move forward from there and try and catch up. And then yeah, I think the other thing related to social media is, yeah, some of the short, I guess I don't, yeah, I haven't given this enough credit, but like, you know, House of Decline or like Sarah Scribbles, like these little one-off like four-panel comics show up in my Blue Sky feed and I'm like, huh, that's funny. I love it, you know? And it's like, I don't consider myself following them, but yet I am following their social media feed and I am reading their new pages as they post them. And it's, so yeah, it's just a little bite-sized thing that, yeah, I don't need to go back and like catch up on the Sarah Scribbles archives. I can just like enjoy them as they come out and I read them.
And that's a great example. Like House of Decline is a great example. There's also a lot of short form, self-contained stories that are coming out specifically on social media. You see them often threaded. So like one of five, and then there's four pages per post. To me, that's a webcomic.
Right.
You know, like it's not posted in the way that I would prefer. I would like these creatives to have their own websites. But the fact that I am seeing it is a credit to social media.
Yeah.
Right. So Webtoon is obviously one way to find comics. There's a lot of comics on Webtoon. But I think it's worth bringing up other ways to find comics. The one thing that I've seen a little bit of a resurgence of is web rings and list sites. So there's a couple of web rings that I've noticed that people have started up. So far, I haven't found one that I could join. I always seem to always miss my chance. but I really like that idea because this is what people used to do before social media is you have on every web comic in a web ring, you have a link to the other comics in the web ring. And that's how you go from one comic to another. There are some list sites as well. One that I have noticed recently is the Webcomic Travelogue, which seems, at least for now, it's a manageable size. There are comics on there that I remember from like decades ago. And like, oh, look, that comic's still going. That's neat. So maybe, I'm not sure what the plans are with that site. Maybe it's just going to keep expanding and it will eventually be as unwieldy as Webtoon is. I'm not sure. But for now, it's a small enough format that you can just browse and find things.
Yeah. So I think those list sites are tremendously valuable and tremendously important for bringing people into webcomics as a concept. If you want to introduce someone to the concept of webcomics, pointing them to a site like that and saying, go find something that looks vaguely interesting and just have fun and splash around, you know, like that's ideal. I think that's really important to the medium. To your point of web rings, even more simplistic than that are list pages of links on websites. So when I was creating my webcomic actively, a small link on Questionable Content and VG Cats drove probably 40% of my traffic on a daily basis. It was tremendously important to me, and I will never forget the generosity of it. So I need to do a better job. It's always in the back of my mind of like maintaining a good links page. But even if you can't get into a web ring, just having a like, hey, if you like this comic, here's five that I think are neat.
Yeah. Like, I just went back and added in a links list on my website for that exact reason, because like I think it's really important. And then from a reader point of view too, like I remember way back when I was first discovering webcomics, it was like Scott McCloud had a list of webcomics, and probably that was all the webcomics that existed at the time, because he was just sort of introducing people to the concept. But I went through that whole list and I like checked out all those comics, and some of them weren't for me and some of them were like, oh, this is neat, I'm going to read this.
So there are a couple of other discoverability sites, I think. So one that I want to point out is Comic Fury, which is a hosting site for webcomics. And it maintains on its front page just a little directory of like, hey, here's the comics that have updated. Here's the latest comments. Here's what people are doing. So that's been pretty cool. I haven't personally discovered a new comic that way. I've been part of the scene for long enough that by now, most of what I discover is organically, which isn't very helpful for a new user, but I did want to kind of explain the way that I tend to discover new comics. So the first one is beyond just social media and the people that I already follow retweeting other people. Tumblr has been huge for webcomics, to be honest. I'm like a ride or die for Tumblr lately. Like I love it. The Tumblr tagging system actually works. And so if you engage with something that's tagged in a kind of archive of our own way, you can tag kind of a vibe of what you're putting out. And then, like, if someone engages with that vibe through another fandom, then it gets recommended to them. So things like enemies to lovers, or like, I don't know, things like that. But just tagging it webcomics quite often will put something interesting in my feed. The other thing that I want to say is that I've become kind of the ultimate trade waiter for webcomics now. So my new habit is, because I don't want to be sat at computer for several hours, and I know I can't trust myself to maintain a list of bookmarks, I am always looking in your shop for chapter one PDFs. Okay. If I discover your comic and I think it looks cool, I'm going to the shop and I'm going to buy chapter one PDF. That rules. Itch.io is another great place where you can find a bunch of chapter one PDFs of things. They also have an amazing tagging system. Itch.io is also great for bundles, which you can discover in social media. So quite often people will put together a bundle of a lot of different comics in the same category or vibe. And I'm a huge fan of that. I buy a ton of that. And Kickstarters is the other good thing. If I come across your comic for the first time because you're kickstarting book one, I'm just going to back it sight unseen. $15 about, that's great. That's perfect for me. I don't put a lot of thought into it, to be honest. And that's kind of a way that I generate a library for myself of what I can read. And then in my own time, you know, I get your PDF. I'm like, sweet. I can sit there and I can read it and I'm not on my phone. And it takes maybe an hour or less, and that's perfect.
I'm glad to hear you had a good experience on itch.io, because that is actually one of the places that I have bundles of my PDFs for people to purchase. And I haven't personally seen a lot of sales there, but like I'm glad to hear that maybe I'm in a good a good place to be found potentially.
Yeah, I think more, I don't think a lot of people know about itch.io as a place to go to discover new things yet. I think all of the architecture is there, but I don't think people have it as a habit the way that you might on Bandcamp, right? I think Bandcamp has hit that critical mass where it's like, I want to discover new music in this genre. And so you go and you surf the tags of genre and you listen to things and then you wish list things. Itch.io has a lot of the similar architecture, but I don't think the community has built up the habit yet.
Jem, you were going to mention about RSS too.
Yeah, so RSS is an ancient technology, but it's very
The best
robust, the
technology,
best
something that I
technology.
don't use enough. I have an RSS feed on my own site, but I don't use it as a way to read comics.
Yeah, I will admit that I don't use it as a way to read comics as much as I use it as a way to become aware that an update has happened. So, for example, okay, so let me back up for a minute. RSS stands for really simple syndication. And it's, if you click into it, it looks a little confusing. I really recommend Jay Pollock's comic, explainer comic on the topic, which hopefully JD can link. But in essence, it's a little widget you can put on your website, and it will create a feed that tells people when you've updated. And from a reader perspective, you can add this feed to your reader. The one that I personally use is Feedly, but there's lots of others. And then whenever that website updates, it gives you a little ping. It says, hey, this is updated. And that's all it is. And it's amazing. So like recently, because I am subscribed to Wump, Ronnie Fila's comic Wump from way back in the day, it went on hiatus for a long time, but I just saw it pop up in my RSS the other day. And I'm like, oh shit, Wump is back. Rules. So RSS is great for that, but I am typically clicking through and reading it on the website when I see it update.
Right.
I
And then
mean,
the other thing that we were going to talk about, which I think is maybe the most important way to find new comics, is word of mouth. Like the last two comics that I found and really enjoyed were because I was talking to someone. One of them was on Discord and the other was in person. And the other person was saying, "Hey, here's a webcomic I think you'd like." And then I look it up and I read it. And yes, in fact, I really like it.
yeah.
I don't think there's going to be ever going to be anything better as a way to find a new comic than that.
Sorry, this is like going full circle because like that's how I found the first webcomics, was my friend just recommending them to me. So yeah, I think absolutely.
Yeah, no, but I'm just going to echo the same sentiment. So it's like that is the number one most important way that I discover new things as well. I will admit that the webcomics that I most lovingly follow are the ones from the webcomic old heads, you know, so the ones who are still making their new projects. Those are the ones that I follow. But if any of them retweet a comic, I know that I already love their taste, I love their work, and so I will dive in very readily. So that's how I discovered Runaway to the Stars, for example, is through other people saying, "Hey, this is really cool. You need to read this." That's how I discovered What Happens Next. That was highly recommended by people I really trust. So it's definitely a habit that I think as a community would be really helpful, more helpful than anything else. If you find a webcomic and you think it's cool, just post a screenshot of it and say, "Wow, this comic rules," and link to it. That's really all you need to do. "I'm enjoying this. I think this is neat," you know? Link. That's it. Let the artist's website take care of the rest.
All right. I think we're out of time here. Anyone who's listening to this episode on either SoundCloud or one of the other apps that doesn't have the full show notes, I'm going to put links to all of the many things we've talked about in the show notes. So you can find those either on our Tumblr or on the Cloudscape website or the places that have like the full text. So check those out and you'll find some comics to read. Speaking of like ways to find comics to read.
And there we
And
go.
they're
And
free on the internet.
Tumblr comes back. And like, of course, this podcast also will be through RSS. That's really how you find out new podcast episodes
Yeah,
come out.
Tumblr is the epitome of you cannot kill me in a way that matters. Tumblr's amazing.
That's where that meme comes from, I think. The Trade Waiters is presented by Cloudscape Comics. We'd like to thank Sleuth for the music. You can find us on RSS if you want, or on many other places on the internet.
Three
All right.
cheers for RSS.
Yay! I mean, there's a reason Silicon Valley's trying to destroy RSS. Like,
They can't. It's too robust.
yeah.
It's built in.
Yeah. Okay.